Okay, we're gonna start. Welcome, thanks for everybody being here tonight. Nothing I like more than punctual, so I appreciate everybody being here. We're going to start, and Liren, would you lead us in the pledge, please? Sorry for the shock.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, I appreciate that. The consent agenda is before you, which includes the approval of the agenda, the approval of minutes from January 25th, and noting our next meeting on March 22nd. I would accept a motion for to approve the consent agenda as it's written.
So moved.
Seconded.
And moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, by nays? Approved, thank you. I don't see any public, but we'll open it up for public comments for a few minutes. If there's anyone that would like to make a comment, and we'll shut that down. We're gonna move on to board business. Cecilia, you have a report on city council presentations. I was there.
Yeah. So we had a really, we felt like it went really well thanks to our principal. Former principal Sue had us so well organized and had all of our presentations timed so that they were concise, and it just moved really smoothly. It was really, I think that it was really well received. Everybody, I felt like, did their assignment. We had some good comments from the city council, and Todd was there in case we messed up too badly, and I think that it really went well, and we appreciate those that have already attended their councils and have set a precedence and kind of a way for us to approach this. So it went very smoothly, and we were grateful for the opportunity, because there are a lot of us from Logan, to all have an opportunity to talk to the city council. Sue, did you have anything you would like to add to that?
I was going to say, if Jeannie was here, she'd be telling us how it really
went. How it really meant for the city, that's right. Jeannie was there in a dual role.
That's fantastic, thank you. Appreciate everybody that's presented to their city council. Maybe just a little bit of a departure from the agenda. Holly, you presented last night to your city council, did you not?
Yes, I did go, and I told them about the different things that we've had, changes we've had over the last year with the loop and the app and the pool, and they were really excited about how well the stock at Presto's going. Presto's real pleased with that.
Great, thank you. I appreciate everybody presenting to their councils and building those relationships and sharing accountability. That's fantastic. We're going to now move on to 5B, a discussion of long-range plan priorities. Liren, will you lead this discussion and introduce our guest tonight?
Yep, thanks. So the steering committee that met with Kinley Horn, and we had a really good meeting, really good discussion. I think we all went away from that and forget about things. And we updated us on the long-range plan, how that's going. We talked about priorities and how who's doing. And so tonight, Jessica is going to present to us, and then we've been urged to have a good long discussion and not rush through it. So.
Why would we rush through it? What's the insinuation there?
We're getting our thinking caps on, and don't make me call on you. That was also brought up. Okay.
All right. Can everyone hear me?
Yes. Yes. We can hear you.
Okay. There was a delay there, so I wasn't sure if I was sure. Okay, let me figure out how to share my screen. Give me just a second. While I do that, I wanted to introduce myself again. I'm Jessica Choi of Kinley Horn, partnering with CBT to create the long range strength of plan.
If she keeps talking that fast, I can only understand about half of it.
Oh no.
So
can you hear, if I speak louder, can you hear me better?
Can you turn it up, Robert?
Speak loud and slow, I guess.
Yeah, I think it cuts in and out, so slower might help more than louder.
Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just wanted to introduce my colleague really quickly. I have Jeremy Griffith, who's on the video there, and then Brent Crowder as well. So I just wanted y'all to know that you have our full attention. Let me go ahead and share my screen.
Do you need to make her the host?
Right.
She's
okay. Are y'all able to see that? I go to the full screen and just.
No.
There it is.
Should we turn the lights up?
Okay.
That helps it out.
Okay, everyone can see the full screen now?
Yes.
Oh, that one.
Great.
Just the one up by the screen.
Okay.
Is that it?
So for today, we really will have two objectives that we'd like to accomplish. The first is to provide you all with some background on what the long-range transit plan is and really why we're going down this route in partnership with the Cache County MPO. We also want to, like what Aaron mentioned earlier, gather some feedback for the transit priorities that will help us to guide the decision-making for the transit component. So there's a couple of purposes here, and we'll walk you through what that means. So some initial background really quickly on what we're doing here. So the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization, and you'll see it being referred to as CMPO, is undergoing an update of the 2050 Regional Transportation Plan. There's a lot of acronyms in here, but this one is RTP. And the reason why the RTP is really important and why Metropolitan Planning Organizations do this type of work is really to help to determine where federal dollars need to go, specifically regarding highway and transit projects. So the U.S. Department of Transportation leverages the planning that happens at this local level to really understand where funding needs to go. So the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization plans for the urbanized area. You see the map on the right-hand side there, and the blur around the bottom just says, the planning area includes Smithfield, Hyde Park, North Logan, River Heights, Providence, Millville, Midley, Hiram, and Wellsville, as well as some portions of unincorporated Cache County. The RTP, the overall plan that the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization is undergoing considers all modes: roadway, bicycle, pedestrian, freight, transit. And transit really being kind of a chapter in the entire RTP update. And what CMPO has asked CPTD to do is to lead the development of the transit component of the RTP, since CPTD is the transit operator and provides service to a lot of the communities that are in the planning territory. So that's really some of the background as to how this project really got started. The process of developing the transit component for the CMPO plan is a process that you all have probably heard a lot being used in all planning processes. We started with understanding all the previous plans that have come before that identified transit projects, understanding where the priorities are and what they were documented as in these previous plans. We've also done quite a bit of data analysis on our end, taking a look at the new census data that is out, understanding where there have been some population shifts, where people are commuting to and from, where the jobs are, looking at lower income population locations, looking at where different communities are. So we did a lot of data analysis to be able to start to look at where we need to really serve. The third part of this is the stakeholder and public input, which you all are part of this process of, we want to understand what priorities exist and how people really want, the local community really wants to drive and how they want to drive the transit component of this plan. So one thing I will mention as a part of part of it, that is part of every regional transportation plan update, is a real holistic understanding of what funding is available, both at the local level and the state and federal level. The plan ultimately has to be fiscally constrained, and so part of this process as well will be looking at, you know, how much funding is available, what should we be able to pay for in the future. Now, we answer some key questions as a part of the planning process. I like to think of them as key questions that helps to break down what exactly we're accomplishing as a part of this. The first is really what I hinted at earlier in regards to data analysis, which is, you know, what are our transit needs and really where are they? Where do the people live that, either rely on public transportation or who want to take transit? And so this is really driven by the technical analysis piece and looking at people, where are they going to work, where do they want to go, and then travel patterns. The next question we ask after asking where are the needs is how do we serve the needs? And so what happens here is we get an understanding for where people are wanting to go, where they're coming from, and we identify a full project list that fulfills all potential needs. And we like to refer to this as the aspirational list of projects because they likely will include more projects than CPTV will be able to. And so we want a holistic understanding of what all is out there, whether it's low demand, high demand, medium demand, really get all of the ideas out there and then have really holistic project list. The third question we ask is, okay, so we have all of these aspirational projects, all of these needs that we need to serve, but we also understand that we have really limited funding when it comes to transit. And so this is really kind of the generation and the ideation that we'd like to go through with you all today is, you know, what are your priorities that we need to understand as we look to prioritize some of the projects and really vet some of these thoughts with the public and stakeholders. I think I really like this graphic because it starts to kind of blend together what all of these questions end up coming together as in a final deliverable. So the long-range plan itself is, you know, again, this chapter of the larger Metropolitan Planning Organization plan will include ultimately all of CBT's transit needs. That includes the entire list of aspirational projects. It also includes the continuation of current CBT service, and likely if we're able to identify some funding that's beyond what CBT today has, will likely be able to identify some future service projects or future policies that we'd like to include. So when we look at the overall, you know, transit component, we will be documenting all of the transit needs that are there. The transit needs will be fulfilled likely by what's existing as well as what we consider aspirational projects. And then the bar that shows the fiscally feasible is, you know, we constrain them. We probably can't do everything that's on the list, but maybe we can do some of the, you know, all of the existing and then some of the aspirational projects. So kind of shows you how things start to shake out and filter as we get to the final chapter of that plan. Any questions so far from you all on what we've presented?
Not seeing any questions.
Thank you. It's very hard to see on the screen, so I appreciate your. Okay, so with that, we're gonna go straight into the activity that we have today. I'm gonna run through the priorities with you, and then I'm gonna be asking you all to fill out your cell phones. If you don't have, or if you're on your computer, you still have a browser in the meantime. So as a part of this process, like I mentioned, we have aspirational list of things that we want to do, a lot of transit needs that are out there, but we really need to get to a point where you know, the community and you all really agree on where funding should go first. And so this priorities exercise is at a high level, but it helps to determine the direction of how we should look at the projects that have been developed and are being developed right now. and how we should continue to kind of move down this process. So I'll run through them with you kind of individually, and then we'll go through them inside. So the priority that's on the left here is, you know, do we want to provide access for seniors, older adults, as well as the low-income population? This population may be more transit dependent than others, where they really rely on transit as their primary transportation. The one right next to it is getting people to jobs that are locally in Cache Valley. And we call that out specifically because there's another one here on the right side that says, do we want to prioritize people getting to the rest of the region, whether it's for recreation or jobs or a life? There's a third priority here that just says, okay, so we have some pretty great service that's out there, but should we double down on that service and make the existing service even better? And this can look like a variety of options, but one I think is the most familiar in terms of services. You know, the bus today is running 30 minutes. Do we run more buses to get it to 15? But it's the same routing. So making the existing service even better. The bottom two here have a little, this one right here with the arrows has a lot to do with access. So should everyone have access to transit, no matter where they live? If they live in downtown, you know, in Logan, if they live in Smithfield, should they have access no matter what? And then the last priority that's down here is make taking transit competitive with drivers. And this can be done through technology, through adding more buses on the road, but should we make transit more time competitive? So I'm going to ask you all to think a little bit about that while I switch my screen here. If you all could get your phones out, we're going to go ahead and do the activity. I have a little tester question for you all to practice using that here. So I'm going to ask about your favorite
Does Mary have a smartphone? Do you have a smartphone?
I left at home.
I like to use my
menti.com.
Somebody see that? It's go to www.menti.com. There's a passcode up there.
The passcode is 54541156.
Mary, do you have your phone?
I don't.
Do you mind letting her use yours first?
Is it just
you have a lot of chocolate, man.
Change it so it doesn't type out on the outside of your display.
I have horrible service in this building.
I was going to say it's
not taking forever.
It's tough. Here.
Try it. Jimmy and Tia.
There you go. So go ahead and fill it out.
4454. 1156. Click on your favorite ice cream.
Okay.
Color.
How are the people doing it that are online?
Thank you.
Yep. Same way?
Same way. Yeah. Because it's just a website.
So how many people do we have total here available?
Did I lose y'all? I'm back now.
Holly, did you vote for chocolate?
There should be 13 votes when we're all said and done.
We aren't getting this ice cream, right?
You selected, I'm out. I'm going
okay.
For it.
Just yes, I'm voting for chocolate.
Make sure.
Mine seems to be like stuck.
All right, just think we have 11 responses.
Yeah, they'll stay on there until they change stuff.
We decided we need 13.
Ideally, yeah, we'd be 13.
I wonder if there's some Wi-Fi we should look into here. Vanilla is my favorite flavor. Okay, we'll give folks maybe 5-10 more seconds to put in their vote for ice cream flavor.
I
On the other, everybody has mudslide for the other, right?
So I don't want to embarrass anybody. Is anybody having technology problems? Because I'm missing two votes.
Online or...
And for this next portion, I need everybody to participate.
Glenn's getting in.
Terry, is it working for you?
Terry's got her microphone up.
Yeah, it works fine. I voted for chocolate.
I didn't think about it. I never had a cookie dough.
All right, are you all okay? Can we move on to the next question?
Sure.
Okay, hopefully we get 13 responses on the next question.
Well, is it 13? Do you want just us or staff too?
No, not staff. This is board.
This is a board.
And there are 13 board members around?
Yeah, okay. That's two, what's on right.
All right. So, our next question should be specifically about the priorities. 11,
12, 13. Yeah, there's three up there. Here. So, there's 13.
On your screens, you will have this pop-up that comes up. It'll ask you to rank your top three priorities for transit in Cache Valley. The prompt is a little bit, it may be confusing on your devices. You will be picking one at a time. So your first one will be your first priority. The second prompt will pop up. You'll put your second, and then the third prompt will come up, and you'll put your third. And I'm going to ask you to ignore the rest of the priorities. We really just want your top three.
So, Jessica, before we answer this question, and you probably answered this, I apologize, but how did we come up with these six priorities?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, the six priorities were general. It was looking at some of the services that you all already have in the community. Some of the services being a little bit more local versus other services that were really more about ridership and getting people quickly in and out of Logan. There were also conversations related to the population that lives in Cache Valley. So we saw there were, as with a lot of kind of communities, kind of a larger number of aging population, as well as a lot of, we saw a lot of numbers and folks that we would put in the category of low income.
Okay, let me be very specific. So the CBTD is funded by sales tax dollars, and there's very little representation of economic development in there. I see jobs, yes, that's kind of economic development, but it has nothing to do with retail, nothing to do with getting people to buy stuff, which is what funds the CBTD.
Sure.
And we're taking
additional thoughts as well on it. If we don't have a priority that you think should be on that list, and we think economic vitality should be one, I think we can certainly take that into account as well.
How do we take that into account?
So I think for right now, you're just going to note that down in the comment. But we're probably going to take this a step further to get to project prioritization to really understand where those economic drivers are located. I think we like to tie the priorities to metrics that are quantifiable. And so when you talk about the economic kind of drivers, I mean, we love to hear from you of, are there locations within Cache County that you think we really need to be focusing service on, whether it's jobs or whether it's retail or other purposes. We kind of want you to help us to understand where those locations are and whether or not CBTD offers service there today and offers a service that should.
So resolve my concern that we're driving to a specific answer because we don't have some of the inputs in there right now. Meaning it looks like we're gonna have six answers no matter what, regardless of the other inputs you may get right now, specifically my economic development concern.
Yes, at the moment, this is the way that we structure the exercise, that it may not have the
right. We can come back, we can give mm-hmm. the priority that you think we should consider and come back and do this exercise.
Do you think we should pencil in right here with like a little colored pencil?
Is that okay if we just pencil it on this screen, Jeannie? We can do that? Well, I mean, that is a big concern to me because that's all the CBTD exists for is economic development. Everything else is a byproduct.
all it exists for or from?
I would disagree with that.
It's funded by that.
Funded by that. That's not why our mission is to get people where they
need to go. See, look at this great conversation we're having, and that's not on this board. Okay.
Okay, it looks like we have that table. So if you were committed, I think we're missing your conference still.
There's those two people that won't do it.
My phone won't.
So we can definitely come back and add that.
Well, we should.
Well, I think the conversation is, what is the role of economic development? The role in economic development, in my opinion, is it allows us greater flexibility to implement the goals that we have as a transit district. But I don't believe that we drive economic development. I think we are a
part of
it. We're a part of it, but we're also a byproduct of it. Because
we're an economic development tool. That's probably a better way to do it. Because it is all encompassing. We're not the whole thing. That's true.
But we also don't create any economic development. We just service it.
No, I think, well, that is creating it. Servicing it is creating it. Getting people to
I think we're creating economic development because we are getting people out to make money because we're getting them two jobs. We're getting them back out into the community to spend their money. That's economic development.
Okay, but we're also getting them to their medical appointments.
Right, yes, yes. I wasn't advocating that development's our mission. Our mission is getting people where they need to go in a timely manner. I think.
Does it have to just be one thing? Could be a byproduct of it. Can we economy and we're connecting people?
I think you may just be agitating the audience. Which is a good thing.
This is good.
Which is a totally good thing.
Yeah. Carry on, Jessica. You're doing great.
CBT is also an employer, so that's
true.
So that drives the
economy. So it looks like they're going to be in the mission. Do you think we might still be?
I don't know what you said, except nine.
There's only nine submissions so far, so I think we're missing a couple of them.
Wow, we're having a drop-off.
Jessica, let me ask a question. Is it hard for us to go in right now and take 2 minutes and add economic development to this so that they can choose that, or is that hard to set up?
Let me ask a question before we add economic development. So when it comes to, we had a series of transit projects and services, how would we, and this is kind of a brainstorming question for everybody, how would we let economic development guide those projects that are active geographically?
Or how would we evaluate the project against economic development, right?
Right. So that, where simplistically, is it where jobs are? Is it where, we have a lot of permits for people who are building things that are non-residential? Where do you all think that lies?
I'm sorry, Bob.
Me the opportunity to go back in and do it again. If you want me to add a few, I can put my name again. It just
won't
change
I guess for me, I see that all of these activities are
you can do it online.
I've never seen that.
Look like I was
receiving TV.
I don't know how to get on the Wi-Fi in here.
Do you want to have it?
Gene, we count on you to have everything.
Here. Glenn, use my.
That would not be the case.
Did you open up a different window? Or?
I just opened up another window.
So we're going to get a couple more people to
participate.
Participate, Jessica.
Okay.
It'll look like two came from my phone, but it's really important.
It's all right.
I was going to say, we might be able to tap into Jody's.
Well, here's Chris
too.
The Wi-Fi is looking wireless, all lowercase.
Okay.
Together.
Yeah, Glenn, if you want to be on the Logan, on the Wi-Fi here, it's Logan Wireless, all lowercase.
This is incorrect password.
Is
it on for the Logan Wi-Fi?
Patrick.
Logan Wireless.
I know, but you have to choose which one.
I can, but let's just do this, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay,
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Logan Wireless, all lowercase.
And let me know when you all are ready to ask to do that. Because they have been able to enter more information.
Are we good?
Okay.
Oh, no, it didn't let him do it. It says skip. I've already voted for this question, so
okay.
It didn't let it work. It didn't work.
I think we're at our number.
Okay. So, in terms of the priority that we have in front of you all, there seems to be a lot of variety in responses that we got. But the top priority that has come to the top is to have transit access for seniors and the low-income population. So, for folks that do not have, who are maybe choosing to take transit because they don't want to drive anymore, maybe folks who don't have access to a vehicle. Would anyone like to share? Someone who picked them as their first priority, anybody want to share what your thoughts are and why this one came to the top for you?
I did access for seniors and just in elderly or low income just because we need to serve that population that have no other options. I think that's what our mission is to serve people that have no other way to do things.
Are we doing that well today, or is that something that we think is an area of improvement for CBT?
Do we keep those statistics? Do we know?
I think with all that we have added with our with the new pool and with the the ride share that we do and the
Do
we tag them?
Yeah, how do we measure?
Are you a low income person? I don't know. Do we know?
We certainly provide options for elderly and disabled.
That's a better way to say it because we can't determine.
We provide a way if they don't have any other option, they can get to where they need to go through us.
But that would be
it might be inconvenient, but they can get there.
Right.
Well, our service seems to do more in the lower income areas. That's where it's used more. We're cutting it back on the other areas where they're, like the east side, it's not used as much.
Mm-hmm. But I would say the great proportion of our ridership in general are students. College students, grade school students, high school students,
middle school
students. I mean, that's a huge portion of the.
We do. I mean, I would say in previous studies, there is a portion that is definitely college-age students, there's about 50% that typically have said they have access to a car, but they are not using a car, so about 50% that don't have access to a car. You do support higher population of low income, but again, students are part of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, anyway.
I mean, in some areas like university, we're more convenient than the personal car because they don't have parking up there as much. And so, I mean, convenience. I mean, so we take, we're hopefully taking care of the elderly and, or, you know, low income and disabled elderly, and then we have those options for it, for those people it's more convenient for. It's going to be hard to get some of us out of cars. I mean, you know, it's just, that's not our lifestyle, but if we needed to, we could.
As long as we don't want to go anywhere late at night or on Sunday.
Yep. I don't want to be dropped off somewhere.
I think I just heard something in the room about Sunday service. Is that a type of service that we think, or, you know, enhanced weekend service would be something that would be helpful to serve this group, being, you know, seniors, low income, whether, you know, folks with disabilities?
I don't know about that particular population group. I have no idea.
Okay.
I think we better spend our money on other things than adding Sunday, because Sunday's, I mean, in transit, Sunday's always the lowest use day. I mean, but there is, you know, probably needs out there, but I think there's other needs that are greater that we could focus our money on than additional weekend. I don't know what anybody else thinks.
Okay.
That's
probably
not a top priority.
Right.
We're gonna skip to the second priority here that folks voted on, which is get people to local jobs. And my question that I always like to ask when we prioritize getting people to jobs is, where are the jobs, and where are the job centers that CBT isn't serving, or, you know, or should be serving better? Besides, I'm gonna put Logan out,
so you're saying not counting like Utah State, which is a big employer for the Valley? You're asking for people outside of the city?
Let's add Logan back in. So where are the local jobs? Where do people need to go today?
Isn't our biggest employer USU right now? So Utah State?
USU, agriculture, Gosner's,
hospitals, Icon, probably not so much, Sativa.
Icon not so much anymore.
Yeah, Icon not so much, but Sativa.
Yeah, then they're getting bigger.
What about conservatives?
So I would say it's not a huge employer. But
all along Main Street, that's our...
Main Street and 10th West.
Okay.
And the Main Street corridor going north and
absolutely
south.
Now, are we asking where are the jobs, or where are the jobs that we are servicing?
Where are the jobs? She
said, where are the jobs?
Where are the jobs?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there is JBS and Pepperidge Farms. And
yeah, but Pepperidge Farms on the highway, north and
yeah,
south.
Yeah, JBS and Hiram.
But JBS is not, you're right.
And it might be worth it to look too closer at times the buses are dropping people off at those. Are we meeting the shifts? Are we meeting employers' needs? Like if a shift starts at 7:30, do we have some sort of transit arriving there before their shift starts? Or are we after the fact at 7:15 or 7:30? You know, if you're looking for ways to improve the service, it might be to look closer at some of those employees that might encourage their employees to ride if their stops were closer to the time they started shifts.
Yeah, that's a really great point, especially as, you know, some of the jobs that are out there may not be the traditional 8-to-5. They may have folks who are walking into second shift or even overnight shift. And so, you know, what are the volume of people that are engaging in those and, you know, working those shift 2, shift 3, and how are they getting there? It's a great question.
Well, we've done a really good job at making sure that the buses are close to the schools when they start and when they stop.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
A good example would be the Utah State routes, where it used to be that you would get at the bus transit either at 7:30, you'd have to arrive to the university at 7:30, half hour before you started work, or you'd arrive after. But now that we have the buses coming more frequently, they can make those times to start. So that's a good example of what we have.
Plus classes start at 7:30, so.
to be there before, before instead of, but you don't want to be there like 45 minutes before.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, general work starts at 8, but classes, I mean, professor work starts at 7:30 or some.
So I think the conversation just talked a little bit about, you know, understanding how half the school needed to be served as well as some of the shift times. And it looks like the third priority here is making existing service even better. Can someone who voted for that one maybe talk us through what you're thinking about that?
Well, I voted for that one as first, but.
Okay. Tell us more.
Because I believe that we can continue, I mean, as employment centers change and as they grow, we can constantly do an analysis of whether our routes are meeting the needs of the people who are using the bus, and is there a way to make them more accessible and more timely to the other points that have been made. And I think that that's something we should always be doing before we do anything else.
Mm. So in that vein, this is more of just like a curiosity thing. If CBT had some limited amount of additional funds that were available, do you think that the priority should be kind of doubling down on the service that's being, you know, served today?
I believe that, but I'm just standing here by myself.
Do others agree? What do others think about that?
I think the challenge would come into identifying which route or routes would be prioritized to have the doubling of the service.
Right. Terry, that's a great point, because not every route may get that scenario again. More frequent service.
Well, did you use the word doubling or double down?
Double down.
So to me, double down means you work harder at what you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not necessarily creating additional access or additional run. Whatever.
Right, yeah.
I see that if we improve existing service and make it even better, that we would also do a better job then by choosing that, getting people to their local jobs and getting more access for seniors and low-income people. So if our service becomes better than what we, you know, then it just improves the other areas as well.
I really appreciate that comment. I understand that the priorities themselves definitely overlap. But I think that in the acknowledgement of, you know, if we do improve existing service, we are serving a lot of seniors and a lot of low-income population. We're able to kind of continue, you know, to improve quality of life for people who may not have those options if we're able to continue to make them better. So I appreciate that. So the fourth priority here is to make transit competitive with driving. And sometimes we talk to communities where, the priority comes to the top of the list, and so that would talk a lot about, you know, getting people in and out of places really quickly. But it looks like for the group here, make transit competitive with drive dependent on Ford. Does anyone who maybe voted for this one want to talk a little bit about their thoughts on that?
Well, to Sue's point as well, just a minute ago, if mm-hmm. you make it competitive with driving, in the way that your diagram looked, to my mind, it was time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's time, then you're making existing service even better. Mm-hmm. So I think they relate very closely.
I put that one very near the very, very last, and equal with number 5, everyone has access to transit no matter what. And I did that because, you know, to make it competitive with driving, we would need 50,000 buses, you know, staged at everybody's house. That's what, to be competitive with driving, that's what you would need. Now, it's not going to happen. And so I think we just need to hit the greatest good, the greatest amount of people, with the least resources that we have to spend to get the biggest bang for the buck. And everyone has access to transit no matter what, especially the no matter what. I was like, I don't even want to answer that question. Because no matter what, I don't want to provide service for somebody that lives in, you know,
Avon,
at the bottom of the, you know, mud swamp over there, because, you know, we just can't serve everything like that. There's just no way to serve everything like that. And you know, people make choices on where they live. And if they have need to be accessible for transit, they can live accessible to transit. My opinion. That may be controversial, but, you know, people got to make that choice of where they want to live if they want to have access to those services.
So a little bit of balancing, you know, being able to offer enough coverage of the service where, you know, we would be able to continue serving older adults and low-income folks well, but being able to also understand where those the services and the routes might be where we really need to get people to their jobs efficiently, get, you know, get to their destination schools where they can be efficiently.
And I think we do a good job at that. I mean, I think we meet the basics of what people need, you know. And now, if we had more money just magically appear, yeah, we could do things better. But you know, so we got to figure out, I guess, what we can do better if that magic money appears, you know. But I think, you know, we're hitting the basics for people, and that's what's important.
I think another thought on that is when I read competitive to driving, a bus will never really be able to compete with your getting where you need to be or hauling all of your groceries or whatever at certain times. But I think a viable alternative to driving our cars, you know, would entail a lot of other things like, you know, improving the service and making it available and lessening traffic and a lot of other things would go into that, a good alternative. But I don't think a bus will ever compete with driving your car in some areas, but there definitely are great benefits that come if we do take the buses.
Well, what I looked at was her graphic when I answered the question, which was time.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's where I defined competitive.
Yep.
I didn't define it as, you know, I just, can you get
me there
on the bus from point A to point B in the same amount of time or less than you can in your car.
Exactly.
And with the same level of punctuality or whatever, with the same time constraints that you have personally.
Yeah, good points. Good points.
So I actually voted for that one first. But Jeannie, I was thinking as well as time, as Ryan. We talked in our meeting about having like a bus rapid transit, and so the dedicated bus lane or whatnot, that could be something maybe down the road we explore that would make us more competitive time-wise through Logan and Main Street.
Well, I know right now they're doing a Highway 8991 study, and those sorts of ideas are part of that conversation. But that only handles one road. Really.
Yeah.
So you know.
So I don't know if like you could move ever potentially out of well, I guess it goes up, I think it's just Main Street, you know, having a dedicated lane all the way through Main Street.
You bring up a really interesting point. I mean, if there was, again, a magical pot of money where we could do a transit improvement, maybe something that is like bus rapid transit, is there a specific origin and destination or a specific roadway that you think, you know, oh, this road would be really great if we get people very quickly up and down the road in a really efficient way? Is there one road or one corridor that you think would be really helpful for that kind of service?
8991.
That'd be the loop, I guess.
The loop
basically.
When we instituted the loop, that basically was an abbreviated bus rapid transit because it was a dedicated loop road that went continuously and offered service much more quickly, so they, you know, the times were better. And I think it's proven to be very valuable to a lot of people, especially that they can park in a Walmart parking lot on either end of town and get wherever they want to go.
And I also think it, like the microtransit, and we talked about maybe doing microtransit in other communities like Smithville, and that could make it more competitive, you know, driving a car, I think.
And it looks like the priority that Human Lab is getting people to the rest of the region. So I think what I want to confirm with the board is, you know, we should focus our transit priorities and our transit service and serving our local residents and our local jobs. Is that in line with what you all are thinking as well?
Well, I think if you talk about getting people to the rest of the region, you don't necessarily, I don't perceive that as us driving them there. I perceive us as connecting them to other resources that can get them further along. So I put that much higher for that reason, that I think that if we could, you know, partner with the Salt Lake Transit, you know, and Brigham City is sort of a connecting point where they can go mm-hmm. from there. That's not, and we have a lot of students at USU that go to school over in Brigham City. Mm-hmm. So it would not be without merit to us to for us to consider it.
I would like to change my vote to that too. I didn't look at it that way either, but look at it that way, I think that's vital. I would have bumped it up.
So I really appreciate the distinction that's made about, you know, does CBTD just work with other agencies to connect people so that they can take other, you know, regional transit or other opportunities versus CBTD actually, you know, getting people and then driving them to the rest of the region. So I'm hearing at least from a couple of folks that it's more of the play the connector role, don't do the actual.
Well, one of the dreams many years ago, I mean, we're talking 20 years ago or more, was that we'd eventually be able to hook up into Brigham City with the train. The train was planned to come to Brigham City at some point, and then we would send a commuter bus on a fairly consistent basis back and forth to Brigham City. Now, the train hasn't come up to Brigham City all the way, so it'd have to be, if we did that, it'd have to be from here all the way to Ogden, probably. I don't think you'd want to hook up with just Brigham City at this point.
There is a bus that's every hour from Brigham City, but yeah.
That goes to the train station.
So you're talking about Front Runner, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that, your points.
Like I said, that was one of the top priorities in our long-range plans 20-some years ago. Now, you know, I don't know all the iterations since then, up to now.
Well, the price has gone up and the timeline has gone out.
I understand.
That's all I can say.
Totally understand.
I'm gonna borrow that.
So, I mean, does a project like that stay on CBTD's list of aspirational projects? Or
I think so.
Does a project like that kind of, you know, we say, hey, we don't think it's really realistic.
Yeah, it may not be ready today, but I think it needs to stay on there because I think that needs to be something that UTA plays into their long-range plans, that, okay, maybe it makes sense to get it up to Brigham City because then Logan will put their system down to Brigham City, and then, you know, it's all part of the regional plan.
Well, and it's always been a dream of mine that the bus would run up the Logan Canyon to Bear Lake, or to Garden City anyway, because it's a tourist destination, it's a vacation sort of destination where you would eliminate some of the cars that are in the canyon all the time. And you know, you've got hiking, you've got locations where you could stop along the way and people could get off, they could hike, they could get back on the bus and come home without driving their car up the canyon. And I'm always for taking people up there to go skiing too. So
I would
that's my thing.
I would think that would be a nice thing. I agree. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
But I think we'd get a lot of flack if we did something like that and we didn't meet some of the other more needy things here.
Oh, it's an absolute aspirational goal.
Right.
Yeah.
She thinks that's an aspiration.
Yeah. I think that would be it. we'd be slaughtered if we said a Best of Bear Lake right now.
I don't know that we'd be slaughtered. People would, you know, once they started using it and stopping and hiking and then getting back on it and not having to park on the highway, and they'd go, oh, this is kind of fun.
I agree with you.
But connecting Preston to Provo would be amazing, too. Yeah.
But we're not going to drive from Preston to Provo.
No.
Right, but
no.
Just that connector from Wellsville
to
Brigham, like, what is it, 17 miles? Then it would allow people to go from Preston clear to Provo on the bus. I mean,
public transit,
right, with the bus connector.
They could take their classes down there at UVU and come home at night.
Yeah. Cheaper to live here, right?
And we'd have to get internet so they could do homework on the bus, right?
That'd be nasty.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being facetious.
Well, I appreciate the conversation about, you know, I think having an aspirational list of projects that really kind of look at all of the needs and the things that we want to determine, but then being realistic about, okay, so how much money do we have? And then, you know, kind of making sure that we're serving folks who really need transit first and accommodating for their needs. So I think that's something that I'm hearing consistently from the conversation that helps to understand what the priorities are. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing for a second because we're going to go back to the capital plan. Does anyone have any kind of last comments or things that you'd like to share with the group? Maybe any lingering thoughts about the priorities? So this is really our last slide with you all tonight. We just wanted to share with you where our status is based on the questions that we in the process that we laid out for you. So this one on the left here, the one where our transit needs, that is largely complete on our end. We did a lot of technical analysis, like I mentioned before, the data things that we are that we've shared with CDT staff, and I think Todd, we could probably share with the board if they were interested in doing. Well, the two in the middle here with the gray checkboxes, those are great because those are ongoing. Those are things that we're actively working towards in our discussion today about how do we prioritize and what our priorities are going to be helping us to make sure that we understand where, you know, based on the aspirational list of projects, where the filter should be for the project list that we think is more fiscally forward with, again, thanks to CDT, was able to find additional funding. So I think our follow-up conversation with you all that will likely happen hopefully sooner rather than later, upcoming weeks here, will be a return back to you all with a list of prioritized projects based on some of the priorities discussion that we had, and really to talk to you all about, okay, so we have the project, here's the priorities based on the conversation. Does the prioritized list of projects reflect what you think we should put in the plan? So that's really what the next step will entail. We'll have a lot of things to share with you on the next meeting, but I'm really excited, and I want to thank you all for the great conversation today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate you coming. Thanks.
Thank you
all
so much.
Thanks, Jessica and team.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Leanne, any other final comments on this project?
I think so.
Okay. Great. We appreciate what you and your team are working on right now. In your packet, we're going to move on. In your packet is a groundbreaking invitation, the parking.
Patrick?
Yes.
Is it an invitation to the groundbreaking or is it a groundbreaking invitation?
Nuts. After a fun brainstorm, we get more semantics as well. Please. Groundbreaking. Just to kind of talk you through the program, largely it is short on speaking, long on shoveling. So we'll have, Todd will give a welcome. We'll have some remarks by the North Logan mayor. And it really kind of revolves around the next two people, the FTA regional administrator and Congressman Blake Moore. And then we'll do photos and shoveling and light refreshments and conversation and networking. Any feedback on what's planned so far? We all okay with that?
Are you gonna have the congressman and the regional administrator shovel with us?
Yes.
In the beginning? In the
all the way
first?
Through. They're going to be shoveling a lot.
Oh, they have to shovel with everybody?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah. It's all about the photo op.
They're going to dig the whole foundation.
I just want to know how far down you have to go to get to dirt.
We don't want you there for a photo op.
It's a long way to dirt right now.
Glenn said free labor. Keep digging.
We're not really going to dig. So certainly not necessary, but I went to a groundbreaking ceremony about a year ago that I thought was kind of cool. They had little tiny gold shovels that were just trinkets type things, and they had a ribbon through the handle that was tied into a bow, and it had written on there, you know, Cache Valley Transit District groundbreaking, you know, and it had the year type thing. And we gave them out to everybody that came to
the like
gold.
The golden spike, I like that.
So that was kind of fun.
That's cool.
The golden
if
shovel.
If you're interested in it, Todd, I can send you a picture of that. And so I could probably find out
where the time is on that, we'll see.
Yeah, I could probably find out where they ordered it. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're pretty close. You're not going to have time to get this.
So,
I don't know. Maybe
that's pretty cool.
Try. Todd, can you give us more detail on the parking just so that...
Sure. So essentially, we've got permission from North Logan City to shut down 300 West. And so we'll be doing the event. Obviously, the weather, we don't know what it's going to be. We're hoping that it will be some sun. But we'll put the tent actually out in the road. We'll shut down the road. And then we'll also use the road as a parking lot. So at 3100 North and 2850 North, which is at the north and south ends of 300 West, we'll have road close signs, we'll have parking attendants there, essentially some CBTD staff that will direct people where to park. And we'll already have some cars parked, just so people know kind of where to go, how to follow. We'll have staff there to help them. So,
okay, awesome.
Pretty easy.
Questions about parking? We would love to have a board member there.
Are family members invited or just bored?
You
can bring your entire extended family. They just don't
you don't want
to
that.
Shovel.
Just don't
we wouldn't
dig
like
a
crowd, but it might be
bring
a shell
so
we
can help.
Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted people for the congressman or a small crowd.
You know, this is one of those things you never know, right?
I
don't know how many to anticipate, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We've started to get some folks. We got some folks from the governor's office and some other folks who agreed to
come. So we'll have enough people to applaud loudly.
Hopefully.
Have we sent out invitations to each of the cities and
yeah, and actually, as some of you have been around to your councils, they've already made us aware we're at Hyde Park, and they're like, "Hey, we got your invitation." But again, you know, I don't know how many people are coming. So.
Okay. Any feedback? Let us know. We appreciate your support in this event. This is very important, and we're honored to have some of these people, these dignitaries and elected officials come in and support us. So thank you for getting the word out and inviting those people that we need there. So let's move on to the general manager report. Todd, can you walk us through these two items?
Yeah, item A, and really Jeannie can jump in here too. I just wanted to make you aware, Jeannie alluded to this earlier, the UDOT is doing a final kind of information gathering from key stakeholders on this Main Street corridor, US 8991, to really determine what are they going to actually do. I mean, this is gathering to actually do something with money that the UDOT has authorized for this. So Jeannie and I were at a meeting, I don't know, probably 50 of us there, 60 of us there, all sorts of different players. And UDOT's not looking at this just as a Logan project, but really as a Valley project. How do we move people through this corridor?
Well, it goes from 10th West to 2400 North?
Yeah, 2400, 2500.
24, somewhere, yeah. I think it's might be Airport Road?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so it's that corridor. So obviously, a good portion of that corridor is Logan, but we're also talking about alternate transit routes, and we're talking about the role of First West, the role of First East, the role of Second East, any other roads that are planned going west that will run north and south, and how are we going to, as you've talked about before, Todd, how are we going to plan those routes and zone those areas so that they best, become whether they're employment centers or whether they're housing centers or what they are. But we have an opportunity to actually talk about that without it happening organically and irregularly, as it has in the past. So,
and we went through an exercise much like we did tonight, where they broke us up into smaller groups and they said, hey, here's a list of priorities. How do you rank these priorities? And each group ranked their priorities and then reported back. And it's just a way, again, to get feedback for these planners to kind of have some sense of direction. And I don't think every group agreed on the priorities. It's much like tonight. There's a lot of different opinions on what should be those priorities, but it's just feedback and how do we go forward. So we're participating. I just wanted to make you aware, as an agency, we're very much involved. We're one of the key stakeholders. And cities are, there's just a lot of folks involved in that. So I just think it's a good thing for us to be engaged in. So just that was the report. And then update on pool, and by all means, if you want to dive into the details, Jody's here to correct me and answer any questions. But at a high level, we started pool, we're a couple weeks in, and I would say, for me, we're meeting the expectation that we initially set, and that is, we wanted to make sure the people that were currently using the fixed route service that we've pulled out of that area still have access to transportation. And we think that we're getting those folks. We're seeing similar ridership numbers to what that is. And we're engaging them. Jody and his staff do a phenomenal job of engaging, answering questions. And so I think from that standpoint, it's going really well. There's things that we anticipated would be challenges, like the app. Not doing everything that we wanted to do. We think that the app can be improved, and we're working on coming up with, again, gathering data, gathering ideas, working on how we think we can do that, working with the vendor on how we can improve that.
Which app did you use?
It's actually Ecolane is the service, the company we're using. We're using them for our paratransit. So, again, that means that over time, as we gather information, we can work with the vendor, or we can say, hey, this vendor's not gonna meet our needs and we need to go out and procure a different vendor. And so we're just gathering information, gathering data, working with the people that are trying to access the service, trying to help them meet their current need, and then looking forward to how do we do that. We're also, as part of this long range plan, looking at how do we think pool might go in other areas, or how does pool work over time? And so we're not just looking at the here and now, but we're looking at the future as well, from that standpoint.
So Todd, can I ask, have you begun the analysis of how or if paratransit and pool intersect or overlap?
Sure, that's something that we're constantly discussing. We discussed prior to implementing pool, and we continue to discuss that. And I think, again, it's one of those things, we're working with staff, and Jody and his team are so committed to responding quickly to how things go. And we're having to pull that back and say, hey, let's get some data. Let's take some time to evaluate this. And so we don't want to be too quick on, being knee-jerk in our reaction. But that's definitely something that we're discussing and considering as we're continuing to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Todd. The other morning on the radio, your name came up.
Uh-oh.
As the announcer was talking. It was a report on the legislature and reported that Todd had been there, and I know that's a common thing to do, but also that the reason for your purpose for being there was to talk about the configuration of your board. So then my ears perked up. So I just wondered if there's anything that we need to be aware of. Are we being naughty, or do we need to be
I think that's something we've talked about before in here.
Yeah, I mean, that is a process we're looking through with in conjunction with other small districts in the state, of how do you allocate board members. The present model is based on service miles, and basically according to the present legislation, every city that has service miles inside it has a board member, and you get massive boards because of it. And so there's just a functional efficiency that needs to be realigned, because it's kind of an arcane and out of date legislation.
But it's also part of state code.
It is state code.
Which is why Todd's at the legislature.
Yep. So it's not just us, there's other small districts involved in this that are impacted by it.
I was interested because I was attending my city council meeting for whatever, I can't even remember now. And the mayor said, oh, by the way, his board, be sure and give me names. You could give me names that you think would serve CBTD board well. And I said, I could do that. And they said, everybody agree? And they all said yes. And so then I became a member. And
yeah.
I wonder if we follow proper procedure. You can't just say, you, or whatever.
Well, no, it is their right to do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we're working with Senator Wilson on this bill, and this was still, the legislative bodies still are the ones that would appoint board members. All we're doing is trying to, and as Patrick said, working with other small transit entities, because we're not the only one, so they're impacted. So working to find a way to make sure that the legislative bodies still set the board, but the board wouldn't be based on something we have to do every year, which is what we're supposed to be doing right now, but it would be that we can set, and it would limit the size of the board. So yeah.
Well, thank you for commenting on that, because my very first thing I said to my family when I came to my first meeting, it's a big board, kind of unwieldy.
Yeah.
I was wondering, do you want to take the old folks and have them stay home? I'm close. I really truly enjoy being here, but I didn't want to be a charity case.
Oh, you're so nice, Mark.
We appreciate your service. Thank you.
Thank you. But I thought I have at least one thing that I can add, is I have been a bus driver of the senior center bus, but it's all the same folks yakety yakking at you. And I'm old. I can represent that segment, because there certainly are things that I haven't realized until I've become a real, real, real senior citizen that makes mobility so important. So, anyway, thank you for answering that.
Any other update on the legislature? I mean, the funding that we're asking for?
So, you know, I think... What's that?
A little more later.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. We'll know more as the session goes on. I mean, once the session's over, we'll know and definitely share that information.
The last week is the, that's
yeah, that's
yeah, we're
where all that
we're
stuff.
We're in the last eight days, and so it's getting exciting. So
that's why I was wondering if you heard any good gossip.
Don't have anything yet.
But our legislators have really helped us.
As far as you know, it's still there.
Yeah.
This hasn't been,
codified. Yeah, in a 45-day session, there's just no visibility, because everything's happening all at the same time, and you just. I don't know what's going to end up happening. So.
Well, I think that the last week you could watch water bills come out
like crazy.
Other.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Water's going to be an issue.
It's going to be
a big topic.
It's going to be hard
for sure
to follow them and to, I mean, they just count on everybody being so tired, they just say yes.
We just need 10 more years of water like we're getting today.
Ron requested that, just so you all know.
I agree.
I'm with you, actually. We do need this. So.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I don't like it sometimes.
It's true.
Okay, any other questions for the general manager while we're putting him on the spot? Okay. Hey, just one last thing from a board chair report. Sean and I are going to go visit with the county on the 28th and give our accountability report there, and obviously invite members of that board to come join us, and the council, excuse me. Just kind of encourage you to reach out. We'd like to have as many people as possible at this groundbreaking. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought in the council meeting, and I was going to say, what day is that?
Yeah,
what
are
your specifics? County Council, on the 28th.
On the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're all welcome to join us. Sean does a fantastic job. I just stand there. Okay, any other, yes, please?
I have one thing. Starting the next week, the parking lot between here and the post office will be closed.
Okay. Thank you.
Because as they're moving along on expanding the plaza and reorienting some of the, they're going to change the plaza area and change the parking. It'll be closed probably through May, so you will have to park on the street.
So take the bus.
Right.
Well, I said that, you know, and then we went, well, the bus doesn't stop except across from the post office. So.
Maybe a snow will be gone.
Good news about those bars, we take bus stops.
But anyway, if you drive, just make, you know, don't be surprised when you see a chain link fence.
Very helpful. Okay, any public comments? I don't see any public on the line, so with all that, thank you, appreciate your contribution tonight.